There is no other time when we need to sense the presence of God than at death. For Christians, death is a very difficult and painful time, because Christians have learned through the church and from our Lord Jesus Christ that life is very precious. Because death is an attack on life, that is a time we need to feel the presence of God and the support of our friends and the Christian community. However, Christians do not despair about death, as do those who have no hope. However painful it is, death is also a time which symbolizes God's victory over death and God's ultimate victory over the evil of the world. Therefore, we gather here to both mourn and celebrate. Ella Boz Baucher, wife of the late Dr. A.C. Baucher, former president of Elizabethtown College, died on Tuesday morning, April the 21st, at Brethren Village. She was born in Harleysville. She was the daughter of the late Charles M. and Elizabeth Harley Castle Bowes, and the wife of Dr. Baucher, who died in November 1962. She was a member of the Lancaster Church of the Brethren, and she was also a member for over 60 years of the Elizabethtown Church of the Brethren. Surviving are Dorothy, wife of Dr. Mark C. Ebersole Lancaster, Louise, wife of Merle E. Black, Elizabethtown, and Kathleen, wife of Dr. John Breyer, Jr. of Gap. There are 12 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, 3 sisters, 2 sisters, and 3 brothers. I'm sorry, 1 brother and 2 sisters. We celebrate her welcome into the community of invisible saints, those who are even now part of God's heavenly host. And in that spirit, what we do today is called the Witness to the Resurrection. It is a community service in which we all participate. It is a witness not only to ourselves, but a witness from God. And therefore, we hear God's word in it to us. It is a celebration of a beloved life, and so we find joy in that memory, even in the midst of sorrow. So I invite you to join me in this service.
Let us read responsibly the opening sentences. Let us worship God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us give attention now to the various readings from God's written word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all thy ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And then turning into the New Testament, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perishing. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. May God add his own blessing to our reading and our hearing of these important portions of his written word. No one can express adequately the meaning and the impact of another person's life. But we do need to try. Certainly, as we gather today as a witness to the resurrection, in a sense, we do honor God as we remember a person who has been a part of his family and one who has meant so much in the lives of many of us. There are some interesting words in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Keep on loving one another as Christian brothers and sisters. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they are. Remember your leaders who spoke God's message to you. Think back on how they lived and died and imitate their faith. Ella Bose Barker came into my life when I entered Elizabethtown College as a freshman. She was then taking courses as a mother of three, looking toward earning her college degree. And she received that degree 1 year before I did. For 31 years, I have been her pastor. And for much of that time, I have been pastor to a large portion of her family. Her life was always intertwined with that of her husband, whom she called Charles, and we called AC, except on formal occasions. I find it difficult to separate Dr. Barker and his wife, Ella. But I need to tell you that they, perhaps more than any two other persons, are responsible for our ministry in Elizabethtown. And all along the way, they were staunch supporters of that ministry. And I'm happy to be able to state that appreciation again today. Ella Barker did many things. She taught school, raised a family, served as the wife of a dean and then president of the college. She was active in many aspects of her church's life. How many meals she prepared and hosted, how many people she entertained in her home, I wouldn't try to count. How many sermons she listened to, how many church services and other meetings she endured is beyond my comprehension. She heard Dr. Barker teach the book of Job so often that she probably could recite, as he did, huge portions of it by memory. She did many things. But the bottom line was, she was a supportive wife. Her mission was to be the person at the right hand of her husband. Beyond anything else, she was interested and concerned about being AC's support person. Now, despite what some moderns may want you to believe, she didn't resent that role at all. She relished it. She gloried in it. Her area of activity was her family, the church, and, of course, Elizabethtown College. She entered fully into the lives of her children. And then later, the grandchildren and those of the great-grandchildren. Her reports to me in these latter years about everything that was happening to her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren left me baffled at times. I couldn't keep the score. Her family was an extension of herself and her husband. She also had an intense loyalty for her brother and her sisters. Life on the college campus was tough, especially in the early days. Students were few and hard to come by. Faculty was difficult to hire, to pay, and to keep. The budget was always over college administrators. But patiently, lovingly, and sacrificially, with her husband, she struggled through it all. And there came brighter days as the college expanded and grew and came into the position it now holds with distinction amongst the liberal arts colleges located in this highly competitive area. Ella Walker had time for smaller, important things. One day she took our refugee family downtown to shop. It was the family of the Orthodox priest whom the Elizabethtown Church sponsored. Father Keiko went along. Traffic was rather heavy on South Market Street, so the priest took matters in his own hands. He stepped out in the middle of the street in his priest's garb, made out of some Keiko material that the U.S. Army had left over, and stopped traffic both ways. Rather meekly, Ella, Mrs. Keiko, and her children crossed the street. And then the priest turned and bowed in both directions and thanked the people for stopping. And Ella said, "I hope nobody knew me." Our son used to stop at her house on his way home from school. For a while, we didn't know what they had going. She probably fed him from her refrigerator. But they had something good going. And Ella said he was helpful to her, especially following Dr. Walker's death. And she was certainly a person who made him feel important and needed. I talked with Ella Walker at some length the last time on Good Friday. And what do I remember from that conversation? She said she was sorry she couldn't get to the Good Friday service. She wanted to leave this present world. Life had become intolerable because of her physical condition. She believed and she trusted her Lord, but it was difficult for her to believe that she had done enough for the church, for the college, for her beloved family. I could never quite figure that one out. Perhaps her pietist, Anabaptist religious upbringing was so demanding and expected so much. In any case, I was hard put at times to try to interpret so that she would understand the grace of God, which is always sufficient in all of our failures even and our shortcomings for those who respond in faith. We salute this afternoon a unique woman who in her own way served her day and generation in the fear of God without many of the accolades and the applause that came to their prominent husbands. Goodbye, Ella. May you rest peacefully until we meet again.
that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. One of the prayers which closes this memorial service gives thanks to God that for Ella Baucher, death is past, that pain is ended, and that she has entered the joy which God has prepared for her. Those of us who have visited her in the last few weeks can give that prayer of thanks with her in mind. That does not mean that we take her death lightly. It rather means that we can cope with her death or with the death of other loved ones, because we believe that in Jesus Christ, the power and the permanent effects of death are overcome. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ and are baptized are those for whom there is life on the other side of this death. The gospel does not pretend that death is easy or that death can be viewed as a friend even when it comes late in life. On the other hand, the gospel does not hedge about the pain of death and the separation that death causes. The gospel understands the terrible pain of death, particularly for survivors. The gospel deals with death by telling us about the resurrection of Jesus. The gospel presents us with the words of Jesus already used in this service: I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Even when death does come at the end of a long and honorable, loving and serving life, as it has for Ella, it is still not really welcome. Even when it ends the pain and suffering of prolonged illness, it is still an attack on life. The resurrection faith is the good news that helps us deal with this attack on life. And because we are deeply sensible of the shortness and uncertainty of human life, we rejoice all the more in the news that death is overcome. Death is inevitable. It haunts us. It knocks on our door several times before it finally breaks in. It huffs and puffs, and sooner or later it blows our houses down, even brick ones. Death doesn't ask if it's convenient for us to receive it. It doesn't care how hard it is on the survivors or how hard they must work to continue their lives without a loved one. But it never wins. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that that bitter adversary is not the final winner. And that is the good news. Because Jesus Christ was born, because Jesus was God among us, Emmanuel, because he was raised from death, we know that death is only a temporary victor. Now, Ella knew all these things about death. She lived through the death of her husband and through the death of many beloved friends. She shared with me stories about her husband and her family, particularly about her husband and about her grandchildren. We shared many stories about grandchildren. And in our many visits, she frequently talked about her husband, about their relationship, what it had meant to her, and how she dealt with his death. Also in our visits in the last few years, we talked about her own impending death. She was neither eager nor afraid, but she was prepared for what she knew had to happen. She dealt with this inescapable and inevitable event with great wit and lots of humor. Ella knew death's threat and reality, but she also knew the promise of the future. She knew that on the other side of this death, there is life. The pain and the suffering of death are real, both for those who die and for those who remain to mourn. But it's also true that God in Jesus Christ will wipe away every tear, and death will be no more. One of the first persons to be made an elder, or bishop as he was called then, in the Church of the Brethren, in the United States, was a man named Christopher Sauer, Jr., who in the middle of the 18th century knew both the bitter closeness of death and the wonder of assurance of eternal life. He was a contemporary of Benjamin Franklin, and until the Revolutionary War was a successful printer, as successful as Franklin, although his clientele were German-speaking people. Ella is a direct descendant of Christopher Sauer. And Sauer wrote a poem which is now a hymn in our Brethren hymnal, the music for which was written by her brother-in-law, Henry Gottschalk. And that poem says, "Death, thou hast conquered me. 'Twas by thy darts I'm slain, but I shall conquer thee. And Christ shall conquer thee, and I shall rise again. Time hastens on the hour, the just shall rise and sing. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? I cannot offer those who mourn very much. I cannot ease the pain of mourning. I do share it. I can, however, call you to the faith of the church that death is indeed finally slain by Jesus Christ, whom we believe brought this good news, that those who believe in him shall live, even though they die. So we look beyond the sorrow of this hour to that eternal life, where once again those who are separated by death shall share each other's presence. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more." Let us pray. God of all grace, who in Jesus Christ our Savior brought eternal life to light, we give thee thanks that by his death he has destroyed the power of death and sin, and by his resurrection opened the kingdom of heaven to all. Help us, we pray, to live as those who believe and trust in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, and in that resurrection to life everlasting, and strengthen this faith and hope in us all the days of our life. O thou before whom the generations pass, rise, and pass away, we praise thee for all thy servants who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with thee. And especially do we thank thee for thy servant Ella, for the gift of her life, for thy grace given her, and for all that in her was good and kind and faithful. We thank thee that for her death is past and pain is ended, and that she has entered the joy which thou hast prepared. And now we ask that you will grant us faith to see beyond our touch and sight some sign of thy kingdom, and where our vision dims, to trust thy love which never fails. Lift from us the weight of sorrow, and give us such a good hope in Jesus that we may bravely walk this earthly way, and at last be joined in glory with those we love, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was dead but is risen, to whom be honor and praise now and forever. Amen. I'll ask you to join with me now in an affirmation. We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. O God, who has called us from death to life, we offer ourselves to thee, and with thy church through all ages, we thank and praise thee for thy redeeming love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The family of Ella Baucher is very eager that you join them in the fellowship hall following this service for both fellowship and refreshment. There are those of you who did not yet get the chance to greet them. You may do so by coming to that fellowship hall. We will stand to sing our closing hymn and remain standing for our benediction. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.